It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
That was a fantastic lead-in to my show. If you were listening to 96.1 Hank FM over the last few minutes, Altoona legend Mike Reed singing Walk on Faith, his big hit song from give or take 30 years ago or so. Mike Reed, one of the great football players in Penn State history. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about Penn State football today. 946-0435. 946-0435. We get to praise James Franklin. And it's the best coached game that he's had at Penn State. It was fantastic to see the late game decisions, boom, 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 like one after another, as James Franklin helped the Nittany Lions escape with a 26-25 win at Minnesota on Saturday. Close game, dangerous game. I've been telling you, literally for months I've been telling you, you have to be careful going to Minnesota. A lot of Penn State fans, I'm sure a lot of you out there are like, we're better than Minnesota. This won't be that big of a deal. 12 and a half point line. Most media members were picking a double-digit victory. Not me. I said a half dozen times last week, I would not be surprised if Minnesota wins this game. I've been to Minnesota enough. I know the history of the series enough. I know the matchup that Minnesota would be able to do some things that would give Penn State some trouble. And sure enough, Gophers did just that. But Penn State found a way to win 26-25, 10-1. Huge three-touchdown favorite over Maryland this week. So as long as they beat Maryland, Penn State will be going to the college football playoff and hosting a game in the college football playoff. So lots and lots to discuss. Anything that you saw that you want to talk about? Okay, here's one way to look at it. Are you any more sold or less sold on Penn State right now? Maybe a better way to phrase that. Are you buying into Penn State more now? Because the Lions, they just seem to have an it factor when it comes to being able to win and come back in these games? Or might you be buying into Penn State less because they're farting around with Minnesota, which now has five losses? So it can go one way or another. See what I'm getting at? 946-0435. I just want to start by talking about James Franklin, though, and the job he did coaching that game. We'll get to the fourth down call as the fake punt here in a second. But before all that, if you're watching on TV, I thought this was just a fantastic component of the game. If you're watching on TV, there's some confusion on what play they're doing on this weird scenario. Drew Aller storms off the field, and James Franklin is griping at Drew Aller on the sideline. And then Drew goes over and he's like, wringing his hands, and then he throws his helmet down. Drew's a real calm guy. Drew is a really even-keeled kind of guy. So to see that, he must have been, and I forget exactly how much time there was left in the game. I think most of the fourth quarter. To see that, Drew getting upset, you know something really weird happened. Then James is kind of lighting into him on the sideline. And here was the brilliant coaching move and leadership move. You saw literally within a couple of minutes, the TV cameras showed James Franklin going over and talking to Drew Aller. You know, it seems kind of obvious and common sense that, of course, that's what a coach would do with your quarterback. You're trying to make him stay calm. You got a lot of game to go. Just stay the course, stay calm, you know, get over this, whatever it was, and then move on. But, you know, you don't always see coaches doing that. You don't always see coaches doing that. Coaches will light into guys, and then, you know, you don't see them go over to them calmly and say, hey, it's okay, calm down. Everything's going to be fine. So I thought that's one thing that James did during the course of the game. They did talk about it on TV, but because the fake punt decision was so instrumental in Penn State winning that game, all the focus shifted after the game to the fake punt, going forward on fourth down three times and getting it. And again, I'll get to that in a second, but I do want to give credit to James. I mean, James is a very personable coach. He is a good leader. He's good with people, and we can criticize game decisions. You know, there's been a lot to criticize over the years, but in terms of dealing with people, dealing with the players on his team, he's always been really good at that. So that was one element. All right, then comes the fake punt. You all saw it. You know how it played out. You know that it helped Penn State win the game. Just a brilliant call. Brilliant call. Okay? Now, if I have to tell you how brilliant of a call it was, then you really just weren't paying attention to the significance of the moment or the game. But I want to have a discussion about this. Would it have been a brilliant call if Penn State had gotten stuffed on fourth down? This is where things get very, very interesting. It is so fascinating when we talk about this next subject. I brought this up last week. I talked about it for several minutes last week. I think maybe on two separate occasions, once on my own and once with Nathan Forlina when he was in on Thursday. I, as a sports writer and as a sports fan, I tend to judge a coach based on the decision that he makes and not necessarily the outcome. Are you following what I'm saying? Because I've seen some people point out about the fake punt call. If that had gotten blown up, the whole world would be ripping James Franklin. That's probably true. I would not be. I promise you. As I was watching the game on TV, I was at Chili's with my wife. I'm eating some Cajun shrimp pasta. She's got the big cheeseburger. I got my triple dip of dipping sauce. I got two skillet queso bowls and some salsa. Loving life, having a good time. No, I don't travel with the team anymore to cover the game, so I'm at Chili's in Altoona watching the game in Minnesota, and I'm saying in my little cubicle, might be a good time for a fake. Then they faked it, and it worked. Now, Jason, I got Jason on the line here. I'll get to you in just one second, Jason. Bear with me because I do want to finish this complete thought, and that is judge a decision based on the decision itself, as opposed to being an armchair quarterback, second guessing and waiting until after the play happens for you to praise the decision or to criticize the decision. Now, it's natural. It's human nature in sports. We wait for the outcome to determine if we like it or not. Okay, and that's fine. I'm not going to change the way you watch games. I'm a sports writer, though. I'm an analyst. I have to analyze what I see. I'm sitting there thinking this is a good time for a fake because you got Minnesota. That's the last thing they'd be expecting. If you've got the personnel, try it. You could win the game right here because Penn State's defense had not been playing all that great. Minnesota had driven the field on its previous drive, settled for a field goal. I'll get to that in a minute. I thought that was gutless and a cowardly decision by P.J. Fleck. But I'll get to that in a minute. I think Minnesota might have been able to drive the ball and kick a field goal. And you know what? If Penn State doesn't get it on the fake and Minnesota drives in for a field goal to go ahead, there still would have been time left for Penn State to, you know, mount a drive to try to score. But anyway, I try to judge a decision based on what I think before the play. If it's fourth and two at the 40-yard line and I sit there in the press box or on TV saying, he should punt it. And then if they go for it, I'm going to disagree with the decision, even if they get it right. If I thought, for me personally, if I think that the parameters of the play call for a punt and you decide to go for it, I'm going to call it a bad decision, even if you make it. Because if the cons outweighed the pros in that scenario, and you're taking too big of a risk, too big of a gamble, even if you're successful, it doesn't change the fact that you probably made a bad decision going for it, and vice versa. If it's fourth and two, it's your opponent's 40, and you decide to kick it, like in a tie game, instead of trying to get it right there, and the odds are on your favor because you're on the other side of the field, and you decide to punt or maybe, you know, to try to pin them back to see what your defense. I'll sit there and say, that's a bad decision to punt. Let's go for it here. And even if the punt works out and you pin them at the one and you hold them three and out and you get the ball back at the 40 and score the next time, I'll still say, for me personally, I didn't like the decision. So that's where we come into play with the fake punt. I loved the decision. If it had blown up in James Franklin's face, I still probably would have loved the decision. I'm completely honest with you. I'm completely honest with you. Oh, come on, Geiger. That's all second hand. You're talking in hindsight. You'd be ripping Franklin today if they lost. Well, I'd found some other reasons to rip them if they lost. First and foremost, you can't be losing to freaking Minnesota. No matter how close I thought the game might be, you're still way better than them. All right, Jason on the road. What do you got, buddy?
So my original point in calling in was about the downside if they didn't make it. I felt like Minnesota kick a field goal if they punted or not. I just felt like that was the way the game was going.
Yep.
But if they kicked the field goal with 2 minutes left, it gave you the chance to match it.
Correct.
So I felt like the downside there was really good. And then there was a tweet with the video from the CBS broadcast and Steve Jones' audio overlapping.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a kid, he probably looked like he was 12 years old. You could read his lips before the play. They're going to fake it. So, that little kid has as much analysis as, you know, he must be reading defense and watching films or something.
Is this a fan?
A fan, yeah.
Like a little, I haven't seen that. So like a little 12-year-old fan in the stands?
Just the stands, yeah. They just focused in on this kid for whatever reason, and he just looks over and is like, they're going to fake it.
Now, what do you make of what I just said? They fake it, and it's blown up. And you know as well as I do, the world is probably criticizing James Franklin, right?
Oh, I mean, if it doesn't work, he's going to get criticized. There's no doubt.
Right, but what I'm saying is, can it still be a good decision, even if the execution doesn't work?
Yeah, I mean, but that doesn't mean, I mean, if you want the fans to feel that way, I mean, fans the root word for fanatic. So, no, they're not going
to
feel that.
I think, fan is short for idiot to me, to be perfectly honest. I think sports fans are idiots. They don't view the world rationally. Your morals get all screwed up. Nothing is real to you as a sports fan. You're very much a homer. You think the world's against you. A rational human being disappears in a sports fan. I think sports fans are morons, to be perfectly honest, and that includes me for most of my life. So that's neither here nor there. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, is he going to get destroyed if it doesn't work? Of course he is, because it didn't work. And then just like when it worked, they were like, oh, that's the best call ever. Now, I'm not an analytics person. I don't know what, I don't watch a lot of ESPN, but I, for whatever reason, on Saturday, I did watch an ESPN game, the Auburn game, and they have, like, a lot of analytics just going on, like, you know, fourth and less than five, 80% chance go for it, or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I'm guessing that the analytics there probably said to go for it. Now, a lot of people say analytics is garbage. I don't know where that is, but at some point, you got to go for it, take those risks. And, you know, if it works, I think, you know, obviously everybody thinks it's great. If it doesn't work, the fans say terrible. Now you might have the analysts that say, hey, it was the right call at the time. And then you lay out all these things just like you did, and the fans still going to say, terrible idea because it didn't work.
Because fans are stupid. And because fans don't know what's going to. And so that's a great point, because this is exactly what James said after the game. He said, they've tried to call that play a half dozen times this year. A half dozen times, and they haven't run it yet because they didn't get the look they were looking for. And this was a key component. In that scenario, he said a lot of times teams will leave their defense on the field. And when teams leave their defense on the field, they're ready for a fake. They've got their best defensive players. And so he pointed out, so they were prepared. And so what goes into a decision is not just that 20 seconds that you're scrambling in your brain to decide what you're going to do. What goes into a decision is, how much have you worked on it in practice? What are you looking for? That's why he called out the kid Ruley for calling the play to make it work, because the players on the field, not only do they have to execute, they have to read it first. They have to read who's on the field, what can we do, what's different. I've always refused, Jason, to call the blocked field goal in 2016. I've always refused to call it a fluke, okay? I've never wanted to call it a fluke. I will call it a miracle, but I refuse to call it a fluke for this reason. They were prepared for that. That was the block field goal play that they practiced all the time. They felt Marcus Allen could have a shot. I think Marcus Allen might have gotten close on another one earlier in that game. They were prepared for this scenario, and then the scenario prevented itself, and Marcus Allen got the block, and we all know what happened there. So I don't want to call it a fluke, because they had practiced it, and they were prepared for it. So just like with the fake punt, they had practiced that scenario. If Minnesota would have had their full defense out on the field, they probably do something different and they end up punting it away. So you see what I'm getting at? I want to give Franklin credit more than just for the 20 seconds of the decision that he made. I want to give the whole team credit for understanding and being ready for that play when that one play finally mattered.
Yeah, I think that's one thing. I mean, we never know what the three plays are that they give the team the option off, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, you know, and that's one thing that, you know, we don't ever get credit for. You know, that could have been the worst play that they had there might have been the best play they called.
Yeah, right.
In the game.
Yeah.
That was the best play we had coming out of the huddle, and of the three plays that we could audible to, none of them were good. So, you know, that's one thing, you know, we always say, you know, when something doesn't work, we complain about it, we tell them how terrible it is. But when it works, they're geniuses. But at the end of the day, we really don't know what happens in those coaching rooms and those training rooms where the, you know, position players are going over little keys of the tells of what, you know, if the linebacker does this before the snap, what that usually means. So
let me ask you this, and I'll open this up to everybody. 946-0435. Jason, finish on this. Do you feel better about Penn State's chances of making a run in the playoff because of what happened, overcoming adversity, coming together, Franklin taking a big step? Do you feel better for all that, or do you feel worse? Because quite frankly, you could make a case they should have lost to Minnesota.
Well, I do think, I mean, they could have lost. I don't know that they should have lost, but they could.
No, I said they could. Look, if Minnesota calls better plays inside the 10-yard line on its previous possession, I thought P.J. Fleck and his offensive staff, I thought they totally screwed the pooch. They're throwing to a damn offensive lineman on second down. And an offensive lineman eligible on second down against a top-five defense in the country, that crap ain't working. Or you get the hell out of here. Then you're kicking a field goal down four with 5 minutes to go. You ain't getting the ball. You aren't getting another shot at this, dude. This is your damn Super Bowl. You're at home. Show some damn faith in your guys and go for it. Whether you get it or not, what the hell ever. Show some faith. Have some cojones, dude.
Well, I mean, I don't know. But what do I feel better or worse about their chances? I don't know if it made if it moved the needle that much to, for me one way or the other. I mean, I obviously if they lost, they had no chance. But you know, winning, I feel like that's what they were supposed to do. And I at this point, you know, college football, especially when you're this late in the season, you got guys that, you know, the teams in the top, you know, 8 or 10. It basically turns into the NFL where it doesn't matter how pretty your win is, just win. You know, so that's really where they are. I mean, at this point, Penn State's 2 wins away from being Big Ten champions. You know, Ohio State loses, Penn State wins next week, and then Penn State wins against Oregon. They're Big Ten champions.
You don't want that. Nobody wants that. Nobody. That's the worst case scenario. That's the worst case scenario is having to go play in the Big Ten championship game. That's the worst case scenario to my in my opinion.
I mean, of course, because there's going to be such underdogs and they won't get the week off.
Right. You can get somebody. First of all, I think they're going to lose to Oregon anyway. Secondly, so you come in with then you get somebody hurt, and now Nicholas Singleton's still not 100%. Take the time. I just don't see a whole lot of benefit in going to the Big Ten championship game for any reason.
Well, I don't either. But if the situation was a little different, where you know we were right there with Oregon, let's just say we feel like we are that good of a team, playing Oregon in a Big Ten championship game, and what you feel like might be a 50-50 chance of winning. Well, that is worth it.
Yeah, but do you feel that way? I don't.
They're not a 50-50 chance of winning. No, they're probably a 10% chance of winning at that.
All right, I got to take a break. Jason, we'll take some more calls after this.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell.
Hello, I'm Bud Blackie from J&P Auto Mart. Back in 2008, I transferred from the old Bud Mart to J&P Auto Mart. That's right, I've been at J&P Auto Mart selling pre-owned automobiles in Central PA for over 12 years.
J&P Auto Mart is Blair County's largest pre-owned auto outlet. Over 150 units to choose from. Experienced with all types of credit and all forms of income. The creativity to get the deal done.
That's no joke. We're serious about putting you behind the wheel of a quality pre-owned vehicle. So come in and see me, Bud Blackie at J&P Auto Mart.
Apply online at jnpautomart.com or phone 944-5338.
They think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com.
Shoe Fly.
Your feet will thank you.
The holidays are here, a time when family surrounds the dinner table and warm memories are created. Mel and Chris at Kepner's Grandview Meats help you to create the perfect Christmas table, rib roast centerpiece, fillets, tenderloin roast, or how about a beautiful standing rib roast? Mel, Chris, and their family wish you and your family the warmest holiday season. Follow the old paths to Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your party, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks, whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet. Everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets, too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks. From Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Hank FM.
All right, we got our phone lines open. I want to hear from you, Penn State fans. 946-0435. The fake punt decision, I loved it. Penn State was prepared for it. Two more fourth down decisions after that that James Franklin called. I loved both of those. At that point, you've got a dispirited Minnesota team. Guys on the other side of the ball just almost defeated, you know, and you up your chances from a mental standpoint, from an intangible standpoint. Whatever the analytics, as the last caller said, say to go for it on fourth and one from the 30 or whatever, you put the human element aspect into it that those guys just gave up a fake punt and they're probably still licking their wounds over it. they still feel badly about it. You got a better chance to get that yard again, and Penn State did this. But here's the question going forward, okay? Do you feel better about Penn State's playoff hopes now? Because this is the second win like this. The UCL, the USC win, the win at USC was just like this, coming back from a deficit, getting it done at the end, winning in overtime, 3,000 miles away, a lot of confidence boost for everybody in the program. So, but USC's not any good. This was a great energy-building win. We get to talk about the decision-making and James Franklin taking a big step in his decision-making process. We get to talk about all that stuff. But Minnesota's not real good either. So, but, hey, look. Alabama. I haven't mentioned Alabama yet. <laughs> 24-3. Get the hell out of here to a bad Oklahoma team. Ole Miss. Ole Miss losing to a bad Florida team. Hey, shut the hell up, go those of you in the SEC. Paul Feinbaum, shut the hell up. All this bitching and moaning about the SEC versus the Big Ten. Well, what's Penn State done? Penn State didn't lose 24-3 to Oklahoma. Penn State didn't lose to Vanderbilt. Penn State didn't lose to Arkansas. Penn State didn't lose to Kentucky. Penn State didn't lose to Florida. All right, so do I believe the SEC is stronger? We talked about this last week. They got more NFL draft picks, blah, blah, blah. Sure, on paper, theoretically, the SEC is stronger. But when you're going to go out there and lay an egg like Alabama and lose 24-3 and get completely humiliated, shut the hell up. You have no right to open your mouth. Remember, I was talking about this last week, that no matter what discussion we have, no matter what we think about any team, SEC, Big 12, whatever, what didn't make sense, what threw a monkey wrench into all of it, was Alabama losing to Vanderbilt. Now you got Alabama losing to, you can't even say it without laughing. You got Alabama getting humiliated. Their worst loss in like 20, 30 years to a bad Oklahoma team that's just awful. Oklahoma's terrible. Trying to fire the coach out there. The Venables guy came over from Clemson. So, should we feel better about Penn State because they've been able to navigate and find a way to win these games? Should they be farting around with Minnesota? No. Did they win? Yes. Have other teams lost games that they shouldn't have lost? Absolutely. Now, do I think Penn State's any better than the 7th or 8th best team in the country still? I really don't. I really don't. Do I think Penn State can win the national championship? No. But you know what? There's a path. Right now they could be the number 7 seed and host Indiana. Anybody think Indiana has a prayer at Beaver Stadium on December 21st? Nope. I think Penn State beats the hell out of them. Then you'd be looking at maybe Georgia. All right, and that's probably the end of the road. Point is, Penn State's been able to navigate through some of these other games. And we just saw over the weekend, these other Texas A&M losing at Auburn. Keandre Lambert-Smith, of all people, catching the winning two-point conversion for Auburn. That guy stunk at Penn State. They couldn't get him on the field the last three or four games last year and throw him the ball. Clarkster, what's going on, man?
Remember, you're only as good or bad as your last game. Still can't run the ball. What's wrong with Catron Allen?
It's a concern. It's a concern. There are concerns, no question.
Yeah, what's the line doing? Indiana ran for more yards with their two backs at Ohio State than Penn State did at Minnesota with their two backs.
Mm-hmm.
You got a little bit more out of your wide receivers, but one was a complete breakdown.
I looked at this today. Oh, my God, listen to this. Yesterday I was looking at this. So I'm trying to remember the right numbers. All of Penn State's wide receivers combined, all of them. You know how many catches they have?
For the year?
Yes.
Probably about 40?
79.
Okay, 79.
They have a total of 79 catches. But hang on. Yeah. You're missing the kicker. You always do this. You never let me get the kicker off. All of their wide receivers combined have 79 catches. Tyler Warren has 75.
Right.
He's four behind. That's how bad Penn State's wide receivers are. And quite frankly, as we get closer and closer to Heisman votes, how good Tyler Warren is.
He didn't run the ball very well, though, against Minnesota. Okay. Obviously did 100 yards or plus or whatever on, what, nine catches or something. I thought that was an interesting play that got them the first down that killed the game, basically.
The fake punt? The fake punt or the little toss?
That toss.
Yeah. Drew was good there. You don't necessarily want to put it in the air right away and stop the clock. At least you want to run it. Well, it would have stopped if you would have gotten it. But so Drew does a little scramble then, and boom, there's Tyler Warren right there at the 4-yard line.
Yeah, that was probably the best maybe scramble he had the whole game.
Yeah.
In that play. And then the look back, the throwback, and then Warren obviously sitting down, and that kills the game. But they have this problem with running the ball. And, against better teams, are they going to get better running the ball?
So that's my question. So that there we go. So, see, we can give them a lot of praise, and they're 10-1, and they're going to host a game, and there's a path there. But does that mean that these concerns have just disappeared?
No, but I don't see anybody out there that they couldn't necessarily beat. Will they win? No. There is no dynamic team out there anymore. We'll see how Oregon plays against Ohio State. What that may take a toll on both teams, on how it plays out.
Sure. That's an interesting component because, again, now you're going to have Oregon, Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. Ohio State is playing very well. They're gonna beat up, or even if Oregon wins, they're gonna beat each other up. And so, is either team going to go into the playoff 100? Now they'll get a bye. The winner would get a bye. But if you're Oregon, say you're Oregon. All right, you've had a great year. You're undefeated, number one team in the country. You lose to Ohio State.
Yeah.
Now you're automatically the number five seed. You don't get a bye. You got to play the very next week.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not a good scenario.
But then they get, but here's the flip side to that. They get the home game, but they're going to get the four seed.
Who would? Five seed.
Oregon.
Five seed. They can't get the four seed if those go to the conference champion. They would get the five seed.
No. They get the home game in the playoffs.
Yeah, but they'd be the five seed, though.
Right, but five plays four.
No, five plays 12.
No, that's the home game, the next game.
Oh, you mean the second round game?
Yes.
Well, but that those aren't home games. That's a neutral field.
I know they're not, but they're going to get an easier opponent.
If they play four, though, yeah, right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. If they get to the second round, that's a different scenario.
They could get Boise. They could get Miami, or suppose somebody.
Absolutely, that's right. You want to be Penn. That's where Penn State wants to be. Penn State wants to be like sixth, so where they can play Boise or Miami or Arizona State in the second round, for crying out loud.
Right. Six would play what? Three.
Three, yep.
You know. So the whole setup is crazy because of the automatics that they have. That's why when you look at the rankings now, they're meaningless. They really should put in 3 and 4 who they've guaranteed 3 and 4.
Let me ask this. You've been calling for a long time. I want to get your thoughts on this very specifically. Were you impressed by what James Franklin did?
Yeah. I was a little bit shocked, you know, that he did that. Also, liked the way that kid handled the ball when he got it.
That guy's a 5-star tight end recruit. Everybody talking about Tyler Warren. Luke Reynolds, a 5-star recruit, so he's like the next guy.
Yeah, he's like the next guy down the road. Yeah, I was a little bit shocked about it.
Right, thank you, bud. Appreciate the call, man. We're gonna go to caller number 2, our resident Ohio State fan. How impressed were you by James Franklin, and were you, quite frankly, stunned?
I think he grew up on Saturday. He's going to be a more dangerous coach now. I mean, that was a heck of a call. I'm not bragging, but I thought, are they really going to kick it? I mean, I just thought, do they really want to give Minnesota the ball back with all the momentum they had? They were up two, right? So
they're up one.
It was a great... Great! Oh, they were up one. Yeah, I thought that was a great call and a gutsy call. But the old Franklin might not have done that. He might have played it by the book.
Let me ask you a question, all right? Because I want to spend time on this. I'm a very aggressive person. I want to go for it. There used to be a high school coach in Arkansas. His name was Kevin Kelly. Same coach name as the former Penn State kicker. You remember the story here? He was the coach who never punted ever. Ever.
He
was on HBO, Real Sport. He's been everywhere. He won 7 state championships in Arkansas. 4th and 8 at his own 3-yard line, he's going for it. And you know why? Because even if you don't get it and they score right away, you've really only lost a certain amount of time and you get the ball right back. Okay, and so you do this over time in high school. This wouldn't work in college or the pros, but in high school, how good are defenses in high school? If you've got some good offensive players, and you can do this in high school. I love that aggressive way to do it. In college, you can't be as aggressive because you have better defense players. In the NFL, it's hard to be aggressive at all because the best players on the field nowadays play defense in the NFL. So. Bottom line is, I like being aggressive. I like to see coaches take chances. Having said that, I think PJ Fleck is a coward and gutless for kicking a field goal with 5-6 minutes to go, down 4. They got 1st and goal at their own. Let me make sure, because I want to say it was the 7. They got 1st and goal at their own 7. With 6 minutes and 42 seconds to go. Now, look, I've watched a lot of Minnesota football. I called them last week Michigan Light. You've watched a lot of Michigan football. He was very patient throughout the game. He kept giving the ball straight up the middle to his running back. That's what Harbaugh would do, right? That's what Michigan would do, right? You stay so patient and calm with your offense and running the ball. That's what Minnesota does. They don't do it as well as Michigan, but that's what Minnesota does. So 1st and goal at the 7, he runs it right up the middle for a loss of a yard. On 2nd down, on 2nd and goal from the 8, with a chance to beat the number 4 team in the country, they call a dumbass play throwing to an offensive lineman. Are you effing kidding me? You're trying to beat Penn State, throwing to number 69. That's not nice. That's not a nice call at all. They're throwing to an offensive lineman. All right? That blows up. On 3rd down, incomplete pass, 4th and goal from the 8. 5.5 minutes to go. It's your Super Bowl. Your team sucks anyway. You got a chance to beat the number four team in the country, grow a pair, and go for it. And if you don't get it, Penn State's at the 8-yard line. And if you get a stop, you're going to get it back at the 40, 45-yard line anyway. To me, that's such a scared, gutless way to coach that it drives me nuts. I'm sitting, I told my wife, you said, heard me say earlier, I'm sitting there watching at Chili's. I said, he's not getting the ball back. He's not getting the ball back. He didn't. You know, so you've been a Big Ten fan for a long, long time. I just want to ask you, is kicking a field goal there the right move or the wrong move?
I was watching that, and I agree with everything you said. When he had that trick play at that point in the game,
yeah,
that offensive lineman had no idea what he was doing. He looked like he was a deer in the headlights.
Yep.
I mean, it was a bad throw anyway, but there was no way that guy was going to complete that play. That was the dumbest call. I guess P.J. Fleck, that's a disappointing coaching decision, about some very difficult or bad decisions by him, and I thought he was a better coach than that. But you're right, he is very conservative, just like Michigan.
I give him credit,
you
because—
you got to go for it there, yeah.
Right, I mean, I give him credit. They're in the game. Show some faith in your guys. If you don't get it— Everybody in that locker room will respect you for believing in them. When you kick a field goal, they're all pissed, because I'll guarantee you every offensive player on the sideline is over there thinking, damn, we're not going to get the ball back. Damn, we're not going to get the ball back. Damn, they just ran a fake punt. Damn, they just got us on fourth down again. Damn, they just got us for the third time on fourth down, and our friggin' coach is throwing the ball to an offensive lineman, for God's sake, and taking a field goal. Insanity. Just insanity. That's absolutely not. You know, the world's not going to criticize P.J. Fleck for going balls to the wall trying to beat the number four team in the country.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they weren't playing for the CFP. They were playing for that game. Do you think he calls the plays?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. So, therefore, it's just like Penn State versus Ohio State. James Franklin's got to have immense 100% faith that Andy Kotelnicki is going to give the ball to the best player in the stadium at least once from inside the 5-yard line, right? Well, he didn't. And so I'm sure he lost a lot of trust there. P.J. Fleck, I got to see who Minnesota's offensive coordinator. I don't think it's Shiraka again. Maybe it is, because the guy that used to be at Penn State, because he went to Rutgers. I was one. Greg Harbaugh Jr. No, wait. So it's West. No, that's Minnesota Vikings. Greg Harbaugh Jr. Is he related to that family?
Probably. We'll have to check that out. That's a good trivia question.
Greg. This says it's pronounced Harbaugh. So he must not be related to them. So anyway, the point is, P.J. Fleck's got to be going to Greg Harbaugh. What the hell are you doing throwing to an offensive lineman, dude?
Yeah, that really deflated the offense there, too. Hey, real quick, is Indiana that bad or Ohio State that good? I thought that would be a closer game.
Why did you think that would be a closer game? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, well, because I'm an Ohio State fan.
Because you're a fan, you're also a very cautious fan. You say this all the time. You get nervous, right?
Oh, yeah.
I just think Ohio State.
I'm worried about Northwestern.
Yeah, I just think Ohio State's fantastic, and I wrote before the game that I felt they'd beat them by 17 plus points. Now it was 16 at the time, but then Ohio State scores a touchdown with 30 seconds to go, and Ryan Day gives them a gigantic middle finger to make it 38-15. Oh my God, man! These coaches, man, with scoring these touchdowns, they're at the 1-yard line and they're scoring with 30 seconds to go. Get the hell out of here!
Well, I thought it was so funny when Henderson
went down.
Two,
yeah,
you're up by two scores.
Yeah, you're like, all right, they're just going to concede, and then they score for crying out loud. Oh my God! You know what that is? That's disrespect. Because Indiana, Kurt Cignetti, Indiana, they're going to be saying like, "See how Ohio State disrespected? We're going to get it back next year." No, you're not. We're going to get it back at some point. No, you're not. That's never going to come into play. You're never. And Ryan Day knows that. Indiana's never going to be good enough to make them pay for that disrespect.
Well, you heard what Cignetti said when he was introduced at the basketball game in Indiana.
No, what'd he say?
He said, Purdue, he says, here's what I'm going to tell you. Purdue sucks, Michigan sucks, and Ohio State sucks, and the crowd went crazy.
Oh, that's so what he said to Booney when he was introduced earlier in the year with a job.
Yeah, when he was introduced as the new coach
at
a basketball game. That's not real smart.
No, that ain't smart. Thanks, buddy.
Has Joey Logano thought about his role as the 2024 Cup Series champion?
I don't think that much. I mean, I'm more comfortable in the position and understand the opportunity that's ahead of us as a champion. There's a lot of opportunity to take advantage of with the media growing our sport. There's nothing bad about winning a championship, but you don't want to just waste the opportunity. You don't know if you ever have it again, right? And they're really hard to come by. So being the current champion comes with a lot of responsibility, and you don't want to waste that. I'm only like that because other drivers were like that for me. To me, that's what a true champion is somebody that understands that we are here because of the people before us. So the media members before you guys, the other drivers before me, the crew chiefs before those crew chiefs, owners before me. There was all those legends, the industry that we all reap the benefits of today. But if we don't do the same thing for the next generation, then our sport will die. And one, that makes me really sad to think that's even possible, but it is. Right? You can't just get comfortable and expect everything to keep going the way it is. You got to keep working at it. So I look forward to the opportunity to take on that role and help where I can. There's a lot of questions I've asked already, and a lot of things that say, can we do this or can we do that? Or, we could do this a little better next time. You know, it's important to give the feedback back, but also, be looking to do more as well.
You're on the final lap.
Last year's RV trip, we met a couple with the same bumper sticker. What are the odds?
Your cousin isn't a good storyteller.
He was a podiatrist, or was it a pharmacist?
You don't say.
Oh, I can't remember.
But she owns an RV protected by Progressive, and you don't. So until you get your own RV, her stories are the most interesting stories you've ever heard.
Wow, interesting.
And when you do get your own RV, save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive.
Oh, anesthesiologist. He was an anesthesiologist.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay, where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Hank FM.
Hi, welcome back to our show, brought to you every day by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. Stop by there before a game, hunting trip, fishing trip. They'll hook you up with pipes, cigars, tobacco blends. They'll let you have a good shopping experience, won't rush you in and out. Again, 6481 William Penn Highway. Back to the phone lines. We've got George in Altoona. How you doing, George? What's up, buddy?
Good, Corey. How are you?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Hey, just wanted to talk about the game a little bit. Wasn't happy that they only won by one, but I do think that it gave them some character. It gave them some real incentive going forward that they can overcome, the worst of times.
So
playing
what,
poorly.
What's more important, only winning by one against a mediocre team, getting that confidence boost, though, that you're talking about? Which one of those Are you happy about more? Are you more concerned that they only won by one? Are you thrilled they got a character building win and we got some confidence in James Franklin? How does this go?
I'm thrilled that they got a character building win, because how many times are you going to have two really bad special team plays?
Yeah.
That put you in that position?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, especially Penn State. Rarely.
Situation
yeah.
there.
Right.
You know, and most championship teams, I think if you were to look back on their schedule, they had a scare somewhere. And even Penn State's, the 86 team had a couple scares. They always, you know, they were on the ropes against Cincinnati. I remember watching that game, and they nearly lost to Maryland that year.
Do you feel that this team, do you feel better about this team's playoff chances after Minnesota or worse?
Well, I don't think we're done with the upsets. I think we got another week. I think there's going to be craziness going on this next week, too.
Okay. Yep. And conference championship you know? Game, yep.
And I wouldn't even say that it's out of the realm of possibility that Georgia Tech beats Georgia.
Georgia's going to be ready for that. The thing about it is Georgia now is going to have to go play in the SEC championship game and kind of get beaten up again, probably. The same deal. I think Georgia, to me, Ohio State and Georgia are still the national championship favorites in my mind.
And we still don't know who's going to be the SEC champ, who they're going to play.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, Texas has got to play A&M.
Texas A&M beats Texas.
Yep, now we got chaos.
Home.
Yep.
You know?
Now we got a lot of crazy stuff going on. But do you feel better about Penn State after Saturday? Do you feel the same? Do you feel a little worse?
Well, I thought they would come out in the second half and establish themselves, and they didn't.
Right.
I thought when I saw them score within a minute, that should have tied the game, and then you know had that crazy blocked extra point went the other way. I had a lot of confidence in them then, because I was like, wow, they grabbed the ball. They went down the field in a minute and tied that game.
Yep.
And so I thought they'd come out in the second half and maybe win by two scores is really what I thought.
That's what I thought, too, because they're a tremendous second-half team. All right, thank you, George. Appreciate it. I'm going to take one more. I don't know what this means, but this says Beef. Is your name Beef?
No, Steve.
Oh, because it says on my screen, Beef. All right, Steve, what's going on?
Honestly, I wasn't really crazy about the fake punt just because of how many times have we seen any type of fake in the Franklin era.
They've been bad. Some of them have just been really bad and bad time. But, hey, that was a great play. That was a great design play.
Absolutely. Agree, but off the top of your head, can you last time any type of fake has worked against or what even the team was? I have a clue.
I don't. I'm like you.
My point.
I always remember the bad ones, like throwbacks across the field and stuff that don't work. So you remember those. But bottom line, you get the last word on this thing. Did James Franklin take a big step forward in his game coaching to you?
Forward, but, I mean, he did the right thing at the right time, I guess. It would be the way that I could put it.
All right, very good. I'm going to have to take a real quick break. We'll try to wrap things up. Dave, I might be able to get you in for 30 seconds on the other side.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288 or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much. Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Oh no, my phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. Black Friday starts now. Trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE 5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on 3 great gifts. Hurry into Verizon this Black Friday. Service plan required for Watch and Tab. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Stahl, board-certified urologist and senior vice president of men's sexual health at HIMSS. I've helped many guys with ED in my 12 years of practice, but now you can get world-class care for ED 100% online by going to HIMSS.com. So what are you waiting for?
To start your free online visit and find ED treatment at up to 95% off brand name prices, go to HIMSS.com/joy.
All right, we're going to sneak in one more call. We got Dave. What's going on, Dave? You get the final word today, man.
Just one quick point, Corey, is I think the way the Minnesota game ended, I think that helps to some extent take the bad taste in the mouth of the fans as well as the team in comparison to the way the Ohio State game ended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Gives them more confidence in everything, right?
Well, I think it also gives confidence to the team in terms of, you know, obviously I think everyone recognizes, I don't say that the stupidity of the calls, but the lack of imagination on the calls and the ability to seal the game at the end of the game when in the Ohio State game, I mean, it was just, it was a disaster at the end.
I don't want to make a whole bunch out of this. It's just one game, 20 seconds. Did James Franklin take a gigantic step in his game coaching ability?
I hope so. I mean, did he wake up and realize, did his offensive coordinator learn from Ohio State? We hope so. And I think this might help them in terms of thinking, you know, if we're up against it at the end of the game, we may be able to pull this thing out, whatever that game is.
All right, very good, Dave. Appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKM.